openly and politely and diplomatically discussed, like what is politics, what is power, that kind of stuff, so that if there is truth in citizen access and democracy, that we can at least be more conscious of what it is that we're participating in. I think there's much to be said for that. I think at some point, though, we have to accept the realities of organization, that organizations require hierarchies. Now, if you want to call that authority, fine. I don't think authority is necessarily a bad word. I don't think leadership is a bad word. I don't think it's bad. I don't think authority is bad. Not everybody can call every shot. It's just not possible. However, we can be much more conscious participants. For example, 423-5361 is the number here, by the way. And please do call in. For example, is it not true that when you buy a bunch of bananas, you're tied in with the banana picker? Is that not true? When you buy a bunch of bananas, you're tied in with the banana picker. You can't just slough this off with one-liners. When you buy a bunch of bananas, you're tied in with the banana picker. And that banana picker's lifestyle, the way that they live, how they're paid, the whole economic process that gets the bananas to the store where you buy them, you're part of that. Now, if that's true, what I just said, when you buy a bunch of bananas, you're tied in with a banana picker, shouldn't that lessen the degree that we exploit other people? What is exploitation? It is the wrongful use of another human being's energy. Now, I wonder, California, Santa Cruz, right? Minimum wage. Now, I don't think one has to be a ranting commie to speak out about some of this stuff. I don't see where it's necessarily a ticket to marginal land to speak out about exploitation. I think it's high time that we dealt with these kinds of things above board, in my opinion. 423-5361 being the number here in Free Radio Santa Cruz is the station that you're listening to right now, 96.3 FM. I think it's time that we dealt with these kinds of things. When you buy a bunch of bananas, you're tied in with the banana picker. When you buy gym shoes made in China, you're tied in with that manufacturing and marketing process. I mean, you can wrap it up in all kinds of layers of denial if you want to, but the fact remains, you are participating in the loop that allows that system to function. Well, it's not my fault. If I don't do it, somebody else will. I mean, we've all heard these things. I'm powerless. Every individual has power to affect those around them by the decisions that they make, by the way they live their lives. Nobody's going to be perfect. But it seems to me that there are those that are at least conscious of their impact. And there are those that just slough it off completely out of fear. I think largely out of fear. It has become my understanding, and I'm not saying I'm correct on this, that middle classism, and this is not bad, I mean, we all have members of families that are middle class or what have you. I don't think middle class is bad or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with having a chair or a house or money to raise a family. None of these things are bad. But I don't think that it is necessarily a justification for being politically brain dead. I think a lot of blood was shed, a lot of peasant revolts built up to this point where we are now. We have an opportunity to become above board with our social justifications. Or we can not deal with it. We can turn away from it. We can allow ourselves to become more and more programmed, packaged, smoke and mirrored goons, robots, out of fear. The fear of being wrong. The fear of not having all the answers. Who do you know that has all the answers? Karl Marx? Karl Marx has all the answers, right? Who do you know with all the answers? Nobody has all the answers. There's no such thing, in my opinion. 423-5361. But what there can be, I believe, we can become above board with a lot of these very important issues that have been sloughed off for centuries. Why is it that we cannot look at history and admit the simple admission that a castle was accomplished by the brutal, vicious exploitation of entire generations of human beings? Why is that so difficult to admit? Why do we slough off that kind of stuff? Because we don't want to deal with it, because it's uncomfortable, because it means ultimately naming names. Now, I'm not saying kill the Romanovs, by the way. Okay? But I also don't think that wealth and greed necessarily make one's opinions better. I also believe that it's up to the individual citizen to sift and discern. So that if someone is a millionaire and they want to throw $1 million at some candidate, I think they have that right in a free society, as I interpret the First Amendment. Let's see if we can get this phone working. Free Radio, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Yeah, hey Robert, I can't get you on the air. I can't hear you. How do you get the phone to work? Yeah, how far up? All right. No, the dial isn't moving when you speak. It's all the way up to the top. Go ahead and speak. No, it's been cool, except for the phone not working. There have been several good calls, but the phone line, I just can't get... I got to slide it up all the way, and it's just not coming through. Yeah, it's intermittent. It has worked, but it's not working now. So I'll just continue to rant. Go ahead and let's see if it'll work. Go ahead and speak for a bit. Okay, hang on here. Are you there? No. All right. Well, then that's how it is. And until the call-in is fixed, I'll just intermittently talk and play some music. Yeah. All right. Robert, talk to you later. Well, hey, sorry about all this. You know, what can I tell you, really? I'll tell you that I think this is really quite the thing for radio, by the way. One day I might even... express my first encounter with Bob Duran and Phil Free, and that would have been, I think, in early April of 1995. And certain things that happened to one where one respects trust, and that particular first encounter with Phil and Bob, I still remember very much. Anyhow, we're talking about politics and whether or not it's possible or even desirable to change things. Or what changes? Do the names at the top change? And I really do apologize for the phone system not working. Maybe by the next time that I can do this, the phone system will be up and working, because I do want to do a call-in show. What I would like to do over the course of the summer is do a political philosophy call-in show. On a very basic level, because that's where we can all communicate. We can all communicate on the basic stuff. The basic stuff is really the important stuff. The specifics, you know, the specific actions and issues, they come out of that. And where we can all share is on the basics. Oh, there's a call coming in here. Let's see if we can get this call to work. Did you want to be on the air?
Yeah, sure, if it works.
Al, it's working fine. Go
is
ahead.
It?
Yes.
Okay, one thing I would like to, you know, talk to you about is when you make the statements about, like, feudal Europe, for instance.
Sure.
Okay? See, I grew up over there, and that... okay, when I hear you say that the castle, okay, you pretty much put a negative connotation on that, you know, like totally. And that's, I really want, you know, clarify that. That is not how it was. Now, that took place at some times when the, quote, castle, okay, reality did not function the way it was supposed to function. Can you relate to that? See, the castle had a purpose.
Well, defense. Are you saying defense? Is that the purpose of the castle?
It wasn't only defense. It was totally economic.
Yeah.
And also, it was actually the place where technology, all right, and the protected workplaces and, you know, do you understand that? For the technology to have actually grown in Europe. You have to very well understand that fact.
But did it have to be as intense, which is to say that you had one family living in this immense, enormous dwelling, and everybody else living in
they didn't
squalor.
No, they did not live there alone. It was a complete, how can I say it? In other words, there was a lot of people that lived in the castle.
It's support for the royal family, though, Al, wasn't that? Isn't that true?
No. Yes, look, we have to talk in degrees. In other words, let's just say one castle was surrounded by 1,000 people. Okay? Those 1,000 people did not work. Like, all the efforts of their work did not totally go to just, you know, the 2 or 3 people on the top. In other words, you only had, look, if there would have been more people at the top, it would have been worse. Do you see the point I'm making?
Why did the division have to be as great as it was?
It wasn't. That's the point I'm making.
How do you see that it wasn't? How could it be that
because
you would have...
Because the middle
what
was
middle?
Created because it needed to be that way.
Yes, yeah, you had paid goons. That's the middle, Al.
No, it wasn't. Look, like I said, it was a matter of degree. When
okay.
The top was rotten and it didn't work, in any location in medieval Europe, then they would have revolts and they put another head up there. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah,
the
yes.
head of the apparatus was disposed if it did not work for the greatest good, because that is a fact, or you would never have the perpetuation of European history and the technology that came out of the Middle Ages. That is the proof that it worked for the greatest number of people, not for the least amount of people.
I'll go this far. It's settled. Monarchies became the established, settled way to organize society. Okay?
That's right.
All right. And beyond that, it was not going to happen.
Beyond what?
Beyond monarchies being established, controlling territories. There wasn't going to be social change.
But it was a perfect setup for that time. Just like an anthill.
It was, okay, it was the setup that functioned until it was replaced by what? What are you saying? That technology is the driving force behind social change?
That's correct. That is really true when you really get to the bottom line. That is really true. It is look, this is another subject now, but this is a very important point. For the human entity on this planet, the desire for technology is really what is the problem behind everything. And I know I'm sticking my neck out, okay, when I'm saying this, because it's a very, you know, encompassing statement. But even the everywhere I've ever been in this world, even the poorest people, they always want technology. You know, you can have the hut, you know, in the sticks, but they want a TV, they want Coca-Cola, they want, you know, they want clothes, they want, and they always want more technology. This is all technology. You know, they want fancy, you know, cloth, you know. Nobody wants to really live in a, how can I say it, ecologically sound function, because that would mean no technology beyond making implements out of stone.
Is it wrong for Bill Gates to have $15 billion?
He doesn't have $15 billion. The bank that has it.
He has a lot of money, though.
Of course.
Is it wrong for one person or one group of persons to have that much power?
Well, the only way I can answer that is to look at the greater picture. Ultimately, it probably is, because he controls... These are all like very hard questions to answer, because it has to do with what he actually does with his money. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if, you know, from time now, I get, you know, $20 million, it depends what I do with it. If it's like totally positive, do you see what I mean? And, you know, give it, or use it in a way that it's beneficial, then you're not, you know, in other words, you're not really...
In order for Bill Gates to amass $15 billion, something had to happen. The cost of the labor that he paid for had to be low enough so that the profit was extent enough for him to pocket that kind of money.
Not necessarily. I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
It's not, okay, my opinion is what the thing, if you can call it that, that drives the economy is the desire for the greatest number of people for product. And see, therefore, this is the cause, the desire for all the products to be created. Now, the point is, due to technology, you can actually create products for cheaper to where the labor cost, okay, can be, in other words, it's not the really predominant thing. In other words, you're not really enslaving people to build, let's just say, a pyramid or Machu Picchu or whatever it is. See, people are not dying, okay, in the mines, or do you understand that, in the quarries, and they're not being driven, you know, with the whip to create that wealth. This is the point I'm making. Is that true to you?
Yeah, it is not as severe. Well, I wonder. I think we distance the gross exploitation is geographically distanced. That's one of the ways that we keep ourselves in denial.
Well, wait a minute. I don't agree with that, because when I look at Silicon Valley, this is where the exploitation would have to take place, and everybody is very happy there.
The gross exploitation, in my opinion, takes place in places like Malaysia, Thailand, China, Central America. This is where people are living in absolute squalor, working 60 hours a week. I will say
in China?
Yes. I will say this.
They're
too.
Better now than it ever
well,
was.
This is the justifications that we hear, and I guess I disagree. What I wanted to say was this. How could it be that one person could have $15 billion and somebody else lives on minimum wage? Isn't there a discrepancy there? Can't we talk about this above board? Isn't that wrong? I'm not saying that Bill Gates should be killed or something, but shouldn't it be pointed out that is excessive, given the fact that there are those that are equally human to Mr. Gates that are living basically on the edge?
Well, how much is he taxed?
I would bet he's taxed minimally. In fact, I have never heard of a single political opinion of Bill Gates. I think that Bill Gates was allowed to become a multi-billionaire because he's apolitical. He doesn't say anything political. He doesn't rock the boat. He's purely about money.
What's being done with his money?
It's being invested.
Well,
I still say it's an important point, it seems to me. In my opinion, how could it be in 1998 that we could live in a society, an advanced society, where we have people that are billionaires and we have people that are right on the edge of squalor.
Okay. When I completely lower it down to that level, I see your point. Okay? There is something wrong there on a very basic, coming back to the phrase I used earlier, the human dignity level.
I think that also we don't look at history in correct economic terms. To me, castles were built, and I still come back to this. You didn't get to build a castle without suppressing multitudes of human beings. And that was then, and this is now. Now, granted, things are not as brutal, at least in America. Now, they don't appear to be.
Listen, I have to differ with you again on that level, because look at it. What you're saying would have not been technically possible, because if the people that created that castle and everything that went with it were so brutalized, it would have never been so intricate. They could have not produced that intricacy. In other words,
You're fading, Al.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. All right. Take care. All right. If somebody else wants to try to call, please do, because it fades in and out, but that was a fairly decent call for quite a while. So give a call, 423-5361. Why is it? Or could it ever be different? Or should it ever be different? Why shouldn't Bill Gates be compensated into the billions of dollars for his ability to generate income for stockholders, generate profits, innovate new technologies? Isn't that a desirable thing? Isn't that something that we would want to compensate Mr. Gates for? 423-5361 is the number here. Will it ever change? Should it ever change? Or should we be grateful that things are as good as they are? And it is a waste of time to speculate on such things. And all it does is create dissent that is not directed and tends to fracture society, makes people uncomfortable. Maybe this is the best of times. 423-5361. Is this the best of times? People live in squalor, granted, but they don't live in abject poverty like they do in some places in the world, like in, I don't know what, Bangladesh, right? Certainly most Americans are better off than most Bengalis. Wouldn't you agree? 423-5361. Do you owe anybody anything? Does one human being owe another human being anything? If you own a business, do you owe anybody anything? Do you owe your employees anything? You hire somebody, you pay them. You pay them what the prevailing wage is. Do you owe them anything beyond that? Do you owe the general good anything? Can kindness be forced? Here's the preamble of the Constitution I'm going to read here. 423-5361. We the people of the United States, it says, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Are you proud to be an American? Do you think other countries have a better political system than America? What country would you say America should emulate, should learn from? Are there countries out there that we could learn from, that are doing political experiments, for example, that we could learn from? Why do people come here? What is it about America that's attractive? You know, the land of opportunity. What do people want when they come here? Don't they want the ability to make money, to improve their standard of living? Is that bad? Is it bad to want to improve your standard of living? If we were to drop immigration quotas in America, wouldn't this country be flooded with people coming here? And what do they want when they come here? Do they come here to be political idealists? Maybe a very, very insignificant percentage. Most of them come here to make money. Isn't that true? Most people don't care about political idealism. They could care less about it. 423-5361. Maybe because there are no answers. And the quick solutions, the things that look pretty on paper, don't end up being so pretty when they're put into practice. That we're stuck with imperfection. In order to have motivation, there has to be compensation, and it cannot be equal. Do you agree with that? Everybody cannot be equally compensated. Now, as to whether or not one individual is worth $15 billion, I think it's actually discussable, and one doesn't have to be a ranting, kill the Romanov-style communist to say that. I think that there is something to be said about the fact that if one person can amass that kind of dough while others live in squalor, then we certainly have not advanced that far, that there's more that can be done. And I say once again that I don't think that Bill Gates would have been allowed, would have been tolerated by the establishment, quote unquote, to amass that kind of money had he had any political opinions. He is apolitical. Are you aware of a single political opinion that Bill Gates has, who is the president, CEO of Microsoft? What made Microsoft was MS-DOS being picked up by IBM in the early 80s as their operating system. When that decision was made, Bill Gates was in. Microsoft MS-DOS became the de facto operating system standard. 423-5361. Bill Gates was in the right place at the right time. When I look back at history, you look back at the 60s, for example, not that long ago, 30 years ago, and there were a handful of individuals that did not seem to be containable. Their opinions, their power was controlled by themselves to a degree that they were a threat to the status quo. And I think, as I expressed when I first got on the air here today, that I'm of the opinion that you can get so far being outside the establishment, and you come to a point where you either are co-opted or you're neutralized. Do you agree with that? 423-5361. I think it was a matter of time before Martin Luther King was going to be killed, Malcolm X, RFK, and JFK. Have you ever seen the film, the video, the film clips of JFK in Berlin, where there are a million people waving American flags, and Kennedy gives his Ich bin ein Berliner speech? Kennedy was maybe the first world leader, and he was arguably not containable enough for those that would exercise the power of life in order to suppress someone they couldn't contain. Essentially, being is how we're living beings. If you want to eliminate somebody from being competitive, you can always kill them. And no matter how evolved we think we are as a society, as long as we're in our bodies, that's going to be true. You can get so far. Now, typically what happens is that one is marginalized. Now, marginalized means that you are written off, not taken seriously, by the mainstream, by the establishment. The mainstream doesn't get the chance to take you seriously because you're not endorsed by the establishment. 423-5361. This is a standard process. Do you agree with that? Politics. Power relationships among human beings. I hope somebody else calls. 423-5361 is the number. Free Radio Santa Cruz is this operation here. My name is Bob LaMonica. I started getting active politically. I'm 47, in my early 30s, in the early 80s. And for me, I was in the advertising business, and it just was not, it wasn't full, complete, and I wanted to apply myself in a way that I felt more complete and full, and a certain kind of politics intrigues me, and I find inviting. And generally, it's not the mainstream kind of issues. I really admire people that have the ability to take on the difficult issues. And Santa Cruz has quite a few activists that have the ability to take on the difficult issues. And it's interesting why those certain issues are not taken on by the establishment. And why certain issues are. Do you have any opinions on that? 423-5361. Will things ever change? Should they ever change? This is the best of times. You know, the last election that we had here in Santa Cruz, there were several offices that had no opponents running for them, running against them. And it was said that, well, the times are so good that nobody cares to mount a challenge. Is that how it is? Or is it moreover that we, those of us who become middle class, and I don't think middle class is bad, by the way, as I said before. There's a fear that if you step out, rock the boat, you're going to jeopardize your security. And if you've got responsibilities beyond yourself, this is a very sincere issue. You got kids, you got house payments and the like, you're not likely to rock the boat. You're likely to wait for a bandwagon to come along before you stick your neck out. It's one of the things that has calmed me down a lot lately in my now mid-40s, is a willingness to accept that. And along with that, a willingness to feel very strongly that the way to political change is through respect for the mainstream, to find a way to communicate with the mainstream, to be a part of the mainstream. Otherwise, what it says is that if we don't agree with that, if one says that I have contempt for the mainstream, what that says is that you feel superior, your points of view are superior, and that the average person is unworthy of political participation. I think that the system that we have, with the checks and balances that it has, with the participation levels that it has, is pretty good. And it's what we make of it. One person, one vote. It's a pretty cool scene, really. 18 years old, generally speaking, you can participate. It doesn't mean you're going to get elected. It doesn't mean your candidate's going to win or the issues that you support are going to win. But you can participate openly. And of course, there's a price to pay for open participation. And there probably always will be. I don't know if that will ever really change. What is it, in your opinion, that makes certain people activists? You might know some. Maybe you're an activist. Why is it? Why do you even care? Imagine what your life would be like were you not an activist. You might be much happier. You'd probably be better off financially. I mean, look, you could go to Tahoe for weekends and do whatever you want to do and have a nice house and tool around in your Volvo. Is it wrong to be a part of the establishment in order to accomplish some change? Is there a point where when you surrender your integrity that you're just another hack? In my opinion, yes, it is wrong. It's power for power's sake. I have come to believe, at least for me, that upon that basis, political parties are fundamentally wrong. I've been nonpartisan personally for quite a while, and it's because I don't see how it is possible that two people can agree on vast party platforms across the board. It just has not ever made any sense to me, except for power. If you want power bad enough, then you surrender your integrity enough and you'll get it. How do you think Bill Clinton got to be president? By being himself? Or by going along with an agenda that would provide him with, I don't know what it is, $120 million or whatever it takes to be a publicly recognized contender for the White House? What do people want politically? They want to be told that everything is fine, that they're great. 4235361 is the number here. Please give a call and express your opinion. Are you a revolutionary? Do you think that the system ought to be overthrown? It is so corrupt that it's hopeless. And the only hope is, like it says in the ending of the Communist Manifesto, they openly declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. Is that how you feel, possibly? That reform is a delusion. That only revolution is real. Are there any successful revolutions that you would cite historically or in the present context? What about militarism? Weapons. Where will weaponry and militarism fit in the political equation? Guns. Force. Of what portion of our political experience does force have a role? Have you ever been threatened by force? 4235361. You know, free radio has a history of threats. And it's very interesting when you boil it down to what, why? Why would this be? What is the threat? Against whom? And I have heard that every now and then there'll be major busts. Like in Tampa, they'll bust, I don't know what it was, four or five stations that were micro-broadcasting stations in the Tampa area that had these sweeps and come in and bust the joints, right? Why? Force. But do we not also, at the same token, one could argue, do we not need to be, in some ways, regulated? Or do you feel that we shouldn't have any regulations? There should be no regulations. 4235361 is the number here. Politics. What is politics? Nickel and dime word. Hear it every day. Politics this and politics that. What is it? Do you think that all political office holders are essentially the same? You replace one with another one. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Remember that song? Is it all corruption? Does it always revert back to the same formula? And at some denominator, the society stabilizes. And it's a combination of terror and appeasement, if you will. And then things stabilize for a while. Peace, we call it. I don't believe yet, it's been my experience, I should say, that most people really could care less about politics. I mean, sincere politics. What we call politics is really packaging and upholstering, speech writing, people parading in suits and women in shoulder padded outfits reading speeches from teleprompters. This is what we call politics. Very low level sincerity, in my opinion. Sincerity is quite threatening because it means you don't have all the answers. And you're asking for participation. The last thing most people want is to be asked to participate as individuals. You know, i.e., what do you think? It's very threatening. Because when we cross that threshold and we begin to participate, then we've got to start dealing with being wrong, not having all the answers, expressing our individuality as being distinct from our clique labels. I'm a green, I'm a feminist, I'm a Republican, whatever. What do you think? As individuals, in my opinion, if we cannot figure out over the course of, I think, our generation, how to mellow out politics and make it appealing for the average person, that we will succumb more and more into the trend that is also upon us, which is surveillance and creeping police statism, so that any political opinion that is not prepackaged is either marginalized or neutralized. I think that's the threshold that we're at, and I don't want to sound too corny, but I think it's really our generation. There is a major trend towards police statism, towards justifying informants, justifying surveillance cameras everywhere, justifying phones being tapped, all kinds of stuff, on a level that I think is unprecedented. One of the big tests of this is going to be the internet and how far the internet will be tolerated. 423-5361 if you want to call in and get on the air and voice your opinion. What is the threat of a 40-watt, let's just say 40-watt, so 40-watt radio station to the powers that are? Why would it be a threat? Let's assume that it doesn't interfere with any other stations on the dial. Making that assumption, what's the threat? What's the big deal? So what? The technology obviously exists, right? I mean, ipso facto, here we are. The technology exists. It can be done. What's the problem? The problem is control. Don't you agree? 423-5361. There is very little independent media nowadays. There was considerably less, even 10 years ago. There is a trend towards consolidation that is incredibly profound. You will rarely see a mainstream weekly, even in Santa Cruz, take a controversial position on an issue. The weeklies in Santa Cruz, by and large, have become entertainment-based tabloids. Now, I don't think that that's bad necessarily, right? They're serving their market and they have a responsibility to their advertisers to deliver the market. But if we cannot find a way, a forum, forums, to open up, and other than label stuff, you know, I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative, this is extremely superficial dialogue, in my opinion. The real action, if you will, in my opinion, is what do you think? What is politics? And the flow from there is very, very profound. And what one comes to understand is that there is a highest common denominator. But it's very frightening because it means growth. It means you might have to change your opinions, lo and behold. It means that you don't have all the answers. It means that you can't slough stuff off with one-liners. There's a political organization very well known here in Santa Cruz, and I heard, I don't know whether this is true or not, but that this organization is only going to provide endorsements if you sign an affidavit that says that you agree with their platform. Now that to me is the height of hoax. That to me is the end of individuality. The individual is merely a puppet for the platform. What are we afraid of? Not having all the answers? Being open? I think so. Because openness means that you're going to be vulnerable. And you might find out that you disagree with some of your pals on some issues. That you're not in as lockstep as you might have thought you were. Life is vast. No two people